Hi, everybody. You're on the Mike and Ape Show, and we're back. If we were gone, we're always around. Don't worry, we're coming back.
We're lurking in the tall grass. We're always lurking.
We're always coming back. As long as we can breathe, we'll be here.
You're damn right. Yes.
Mike, you know, I know you're very concerned about this, as you call it, fakakta.
Yes.
Okay, congestion surcharge that's supposed to kick in on January 1st, and we are all concerned about it. Okay.
Now, when you look in the dictionary next to the word fakakta, you will see MTA surcharge right next to it.
Yeah. Actually, it's a Yiddish word.
That's the meaning of fakakta.
Okay. Yeah, it means BS in English. Okay. It's not BS because it's really going to happen. Okay, maybe, perhaps not, and I'll get to that. But
we'll get to it now because I want to know. That's the only thing I care about right now.
Yeah. Go. No, I'm getting to it. I'm going to get to the whole story if you give me a chance. All right.
Go.
Well, Friday night late, about 8 o'clock at night, I get an email from the Department of Taxation and Finance, which lays out the instructions for how the surcharge is going to be implemented and how they're going to want to collect it monthly. And you can read all this on NYC Taxi News. The link is on the front page, okay?
Yeah.
They're going to collect it monthly, and taxi owners and others have to register with the State Department of Taxation. And I thought we already are registered for the MTA tax. But this is not the MTA tax. This is called the congestion surcharge tax. Okay? All right? So there are actually two separate taxes. One is 50 cents and the other is, if you're in a yellow cab, is $2.50. Okay?
Oh, so basically they BS the people to say it's for the MTA to get it through. And now it's not the MTA. It's going through like a slush fund. Is that the idea?
Well, it's the congestion charge. Who knows where it's going to go? Okay, I don't want to make any ridiculous accusations. However, you know, we don't know, all right?
Uh-huh.
Okay, they're going to take the money. What they're going to do with the money is supposedly for mass transit, but, you know, how they define that is yet to be seen.
Okay? All right, let me continue,
all right? Listen, this is the most unfairest tax that was ever created. Okay, because number one, it encompasses all trips that go into what they call the congestion zone, which is below 96th Street in Manhattan. Okay, down to the Battery. Okay, if you should come into the zone now it's 96th Street on both the east and west side, unlike the MTA tax, which was 110th Street on the west side and 96th Street on the east side. It's not that. It's 96th Street on both sides, okay?
Right.
Now, how you come into that zone, you could start a trip in that zone, end the trip in that zone. You could go through the zone to complete your trip. You know, maybe you pick somebody up on 125th Street and they want to go to Brooklyn Heights. Well, you have to go through that zone to get there. Unless if you go over the Triborough Bridge, okay?
Interesting.
All right? But the Triborough Bridge is more than what the tax is. So, you know, so if it's a choice between the two of them, you're going to go for the tax, right?
Okay? All right.
And God in heaven is right, okay? But what's really unfair is the Uber cars or the other cars, I should say, the black cars, the livery cars, which encompasses Uber all around and Lyft and Via and whatever, you know, they have an option to say, well, this is going to be a pool ride. Now, a pool ride, by definition here, is not necessarily a ride that picks up more than one person. It's a ride that they say is eligible to pick up more than one person.
Mm.
So if they declare it as a pool ride, okay, now they're supposed to pay $2.75 for a regular trip that goes through the zone. But if they declare it as a pool ride, then it's 75 cents whether they pick up another person or not.
75 cents per person, or just 75 cents?
75 cents per person. But if one person is in the car and they declare it a pool ride, meaning that they may pick up other people along the way but don't, it's still right. 75 cents for that person. So all they have to do is declare it a pool ride.
Yeah, so, I mean, so, listen, yeah. Where's the lawsuit? Who is it? Everybody
well,
said...
Well, I'm getting to that, okay? There is no lawsuit that I'm aware of yet, but this notice just came through a half hour ago, okay? And it says, on Monday, November 19th, there is a critical city council public hearing on congestion pricing. A 75 cents fee on every Uber, Lyft, and app trip, and $2.50 fee on every yellow cab trip below 96th Street. The money all goes to the state. 90% of yellow trips will be affected, and at a time of serious crisis. To stop this crisis, we have to stop this plan. Now, this is from the NYTWA, this notice. The council has to hear from drivers, bring eviction and foreclosure notices and monthly statements, make some noise. The city and state can still fix this. Okay, and right. This is by the NYTWA, and the city council hearing is tomorrow morning at 10 a.m. at City Hall. Okay?
Okay, well, I'll tell you something. It's discriminatory. It's putting us out of business. And like I said, it's not even going to the MTA. And it was sold with their propaganda to help mass transit. Not helping mass transit. This money's going just... in the air. There's no accounting for it. And I'll tell you, it's basically you're stealing it from the poor to give to the rich. And this is an outrage. And why us? I mean, you have all these. I'll tell you a perfect example of a need for congestion pricing for all versus yellow cabs. Wednesday night, yes. Whatever that crazy snowmageddon was.
That was Thursday night, I believe.
Thursday, 3 o'clock.
Yeah.
3 o'clock,
okay.
The school lets out. Everybody's leaving for Thanksgiving week. There's snow and ice and no trucks, so I'm wondering if there was like a stand-down union thing against the mayor, which I wouldn't blame them probably. Mm-hmm. And everybody in there, one person, one car, one person, they're talking to these people, oh, I'm going to the store, oh, I'm going to see my friend, oh, I'm driving around to take a GoPro shot. Listen, these cars should be hit, private cars. Joyriding in the city is becoming a big problem. I say they do a weekday... a business day surcharge for private cars of $10 a piece. There you go. Then everybody's happy. But this deal with $2.50 a trip on top of $3 a trip, and I'll tell you something else. Well, you just told me this huge news. There's going to be a lot of broken hearts, my friend, because some of these so-called leaders with a lot of cabs, I don't think they were suing right away because they were drooling over the prospect of being able to hang on to this money for 3 months. And now, from what you're telling me, they have to send the money in monthly.
So right, every month.
And they just found that out, and they got a nice little kick in the ass. So maybe that'll say, you know, maybe this is no good after all. Because they were drooling, outside my opinion, more than a few people were drooling over having this money in their hot little hands for 3 months. And, you know, the rally cry was, worry about tomorrow. So now they got to worry about tomorrow today. And so Monday morning, there's going to be the taxi lions there, and this is a complete freaking fiasco, and this also happens after the elections are over, okay? Everybody's tucked away, everybody's, you know, in their little cozy little elected offices in City Hall, and the only guy here making any noise is Alanis Rodriguez from Uptown, Veda V, and a couple other people, Taxi Dave's running around, and Carolyn, and you and me. Where's the leadership? I mean, is there any leadership anymore? I mean, some of those...
We'll find that out tomorrow at the City Council meeting, which will be... live on the internet for those who want to watch it, and I will post the meeting when it's over, okay,
right.
On NYC Taxi News for people to watch. Okay.
And I'll tell you, I don't know if it's evil genius, but last time I went to a city council meeting, used to be when they had a big meeting at city council, they would let the cab drivers single park and double park, and you know, you can at least stash your cab there, but... you know, I guess they don't want people to show up for these things. This is horrible. They make every inconvenience.
Well, if there's a way to get there, okay? The subways are running. You can walk. I mean, whatever. You can hitchhike. You know, just like, you know, hitchhike in an Uber car and say, oh, you want money? You know?
See, my opinion is
supposed to be ride sharing. What are you talking about?
Right. I would say just get there with your cab, and if you don't find a parking space, keep looking, if you know what I mean. So, I'll be getting in there. I don't know how I'm going to get in there, but I'll find a way to get in there, way, shape, or form. I'll show up. Let's put it that way. But this is an outrage. I mean, this is an outrage, and now they're talking about it's not going to the MTDA. They're going to send it to the Department of Finance versus... Now, if this was going... If you said, okay, we're going to send all this money, it's going to be spent on a team to get the crazy people out of the subway, I'd be, okay, great. We're going to have a crazy people out of the subway surcharge of $3 a piece, and that's going to go straight to the police and psychiatric facilities and pharmacies to get these people off the subways into a psychiatric facility. Fine. Okay, then I get it. Okay, great. We're getting the crazy people on the subway. People are paying $3 a piece. Thank God. No, it's going into some general fund where they're going to repave the Van Wyck 10 times like they do every time. And they repaved the Van Wyck 5 times already. I don't know what they're doing over there. But this money just keeps going up in the sky. There's no rhyme or reason, and it's very concerning. It's frustrating. I mean, this is just it's illegal. It's wrong. It's discriminatory. It's conflict. You got the granny. Not everybody's a millionaire living below 96th Street. You got a lot of rent control people living below 96th Street on fixed incomes, and you've just told the granny who takes her kids to the movies that instead of paying $7, she has to pay $10 on January 1st. And the guy going from the Bronx to Staten Island, he's going to pay the same surcharge as the granny going around the corner. So right there, it's horrible. It's horrible. It's ridiculous. Come on. There's got to be someone in there to stop this. You know. And then de Blasio chimes in and says, oh, it's going to be great so we can give discounted rates to the poor people. And say, listen, what do you mean discounted rate? You're paying $33. It's going to be $33 a week for a MetroCard. How poor do you have to freaking be? You can't afford $30 a week to ride the train, and invariably everybody splits the MetroCard with their friends. So let's say $20 a piece. You only get $20 in your pocket every week to ride the trains and the buses nonstop. Come on, forget about it. All this poor stuff. I'll tell you, it's ridiculous. Everybody wants to be poor today instead of rich. It's crazy.
Except for the people that live in the outer boroughs, you know, all the people that live in Manhattan. Bloomberg, most of them are very wealthy people, okay, yeah. and they have plenty of money to do whatever they want.
Well,
okay,
I had a little old man in the cab, great guy. He goes like this. He goes,
yeah.
When you're a millionaire, you can say whatever you want. And I said, that's the truth, you know.
No, it's billionaire in these days. Okay,
when you're a billionaire, you can do whatever.
Yeah, right.
When you're a billionaire, you can say whatever you want. When you're a billionaire, you can do whatever you want. That's
you, you know, Mike Al Gore says he was once elected president of the United States.
Uh-huh.
Okay, and then all of a sudden he wasn't elected president of the United States.
Right.
I think some of the yellow cab medallion owners, such as myself, could say I was once a millionaire.
Right.
Okay. Once.
Yeah. You're a millionaire until Bloomberg left.
But now I'm scrounging.
All
right.
Yeah.
You know, I have survived this onslaught, and the only reason I survived it is because my medallion is paid for. Okay. I've been around a long time. Okay.
Yeah.
But these people that laid out $1 million for a medallion, within the last, 10 to 12 years. Okay, they're ruined, right? And you know something, the city sold these medallions like they were buying gold in the sky. Okay.
Yep. Uh huh.
Like this is going to be the rest of your life. You're going to be in seventh heaven. Okay.
Yeah.
And they have turned their backs on all these people, you know, as if it didn't happen. We took $1 million for you. Oh, well, you know, it's too bad that things went bad for you. Okay,
yeah.
Give the money back, please.
That's the class action suit that should be there. Right.
Yeah, give the money back. You took the money. You didn't back it up. You didn't enforce the rules and regulations. Okay, give the money back to these people. Okay,
right. At the very least.
Yeah. Okay. Many of them have been foreclosed on already. You know.
Yeah.
I guess they still owe a lot of this money, but maybe they could get their house back or whatever was taken from them.
It's horrible.
Okay?
It's horrible.
Get their medallions back.
Well, I mean, gotta tell
give
you,
the money back. Give the money back. You took the money, is, give it back.
Right. A lot of these guys, or gals for that fact, they were first generation immigrants. Everybody gets crazy. Oh, the immigrants. Well, here you had an opportunity where the city of New York could have helped the immigrants, and instead they double-crossed them and buried them financially for 7 years if they go bankrupt. And the other thing, like you said, with the auction, when the city was auctioning medallions, direct issue from the city, they had an upset bid price, which it tells you pretty much, it's not some guy off the street. It's the city of New York saying, we have an upset bid price, which means their Department of Finance and their Taxi and Limousine Commission has established a floor price that pretty much, in my opinion, would guarantee to the layperson, not knowing anything, that would say, listen, it might go up, it might go down, but it's going to be in range of this upset price because we've done the books, we look at it, and, you know, it's a good investment. So if I'm going to lay out a chunk of money, what was the highest bid for a medallion? A medallion, one medallion, from an auction?
$1.3 million. Or four, even. I'm not sure, but some sold for as high as 1.3.
But I mean, from an auction, direct from the city. It was only $700,000, right? Direct auction.
No, the auctions, they bid $1.3 million.
For two medallions, or one medallion or two medallions?
No, well, for a lot of medallions,
believe. The auction this price, they got $1 million from an auction?
Yeah, well, the upset price was $800,000, and the people that really wanted those medallions knew that the bids were going to go higher. So I believe, and correct me if I'm wrong, it went as high as $1.3 million, because there was sales for that amount.
Well, folks, we're going to look at that for the next show because there's your lawsuit right there. I mean, this is the city of New York basically saying the medallion is going to be worth minimum upset bid, $800,000. And at the very least, like you said, Abe, you should take these poor people. They're definitely poor people now because they've been foreclosed on. They owe $800,000. Now, that's poor. Say, look, there was a mistake. We went in another direction with the medallions. We're going to give you your money back. That's all. And they might want to talk about throwing the people in jail who sucked everyone into buying medallions from the city, who worked for the city, and get this, in my opinion, it was this bullshit scheme to rip off the immigrants. And I'll tell you something else. I think the current administration, unlike Bloomberg was a high roller, self-made billionaire. I think the current administration and current tone with too many elected officials in the city is to keep the poor poor. I mean, they have a winning formula of building a poverty base. So if you look at the cab driver, the poor is working every day and getting equity in the city and buying out. So the poor ain't poor no more. And I wonder if that flies in the face of the mantra of keeping the poor poor to have this huge welfare base in the city of New York. And I wonder if that's the evil within the evil, where it was political. Because a lot of the first-generation immigrants, let's face it, if you... you vote one way when you're poor, and once you get a couple of bucks in your pocket, you're voting another way. So I wonder if they say, like, well, listen, these guys are getting money now based on medallion equity, and they're not, you know, they're thinking differently now because they have equity. So I don't know,
well,
but it's a big
thing. Well, look, it all goes back to the Bloomberg administration and Bloomberg's vendetta to get the industry. Okay. All right.
Well.
Okay. You know, everybody knows what he said. You know, and everybody knows why. You know, he did what he did. It had to do with lawsuits that some of the medallion owners won, and these are the big medallion owners. Okay, the Friedmans who Bloomberg look straight in the face and says, I'm going to destroy your effing industry. You know, they had sued Bloomberg over the Taxi of Tomorrow and over hybrid cars, and Bloomberg lost. And what was his beef against them? Okay, you know, he didn't like the way they treated the drivers. And look, maybe his beef had some validity, okay? But... He didn't care about the little guys that he was going to ruin along with the big guys.
Right, the collateral damage. Yeah.
The collateral damage. And you know, the think of Japan in 1945. Hiroshima and Nagasaki had atom bombs dropped on them, and all of those innocent people that died because the upper echelon Japanese wanted to fight a war with the United States.
Right.
Okay, they had nothing to do with it, these people. These people died because we had a, you know, we should have found another way. The United States should have found another way to end the war without killing all of these innocent people. And that, in my eyes, is what Bloomberg did. He killed all of these innocent taxi driver owners, such as myself. Okay?
Right.
I did nothing wrong. I didn't sue him. When he said he wanted hybrid cars, I bought one. Okay?
You bought two?
I didn't go against him. Mm-hmm. Okay? When he said he wanted the taxi tomorrow, well, I didn't figure into that yet. Okay? But probably I would have got it if that was what was on. In fact, I'm still liable to have it. Okay, because they did win the appeal, all right? He didn't even wait for the appeal, okay?
He just was
being mean and vindictive, okay? All right?
Evil.
And I remember a video he got in the Bronx where he gets into this black car and says, "Isn't it something how there's no yellow cabs here? Isn't it something?" You know, and then he encouraged people to give money to invest in Uber. Okay? I mean, I read all this, okay? It's not a secret. Okay?
Yeah.
He was out to destroy the yellow taxi industry. Okay?
Well, you wonder all how much money let's put it this way. You wonder how much money Bloomberg shoveled into Uber. I wonder if they could find that. They're all afraid of Bloomberg.
It is documented in news stories that he did shovel $70 million into Lyft.
Into Lyft?
Okay, yeah. Okay, that's where his friend and former taxi commissioner, David Yeske, became an advisor.
Oh, my God.
All right?
Well, the crazy thing with Bloomberg is, when Bloomberg and Matt Doss, who was a great chairman, I'll give him like A-minus because he did a couple of things I didn't agree with, but when Doss was running the TLC, the medallion went from the Giuliani price of 185 when Giuliani left, and we had 9/11, that horror story, and it was down to about 185. And between Bloomberg and Doss, they got the medallion price up to $1 million, and cabbies had $1 million cabs, and they were buying houses and sending their kids to better schools. And then all of a sudden, Bloomberg leaves. He has a fight with some fleet guy, and Doss is gone. And now between de Blasio and, I call her Chairperson Nosy, between de Blasio and Nosy and Cuomo putting his beak in the water, it's been a disaster. And this is an iconic industry that was doing great for 70 years. It was red carpet for first-generation immigrants to come in and go to work right away. Go to work, they get a cab, they get a house, they get the kids in school, and that's gone. It's been replaced by these app cars where there's really no equity, no sweat equity, where you can have the car and it'll go up in value. You're just a day labor, and not even a day pay at that. You're just working part-time now because they got 90,000 app cars running around. And that was the other part of that was another thing that we talked about the other day. Is apparently when you had this big snowstorm 2 days ago where nothing, that the city didn't do anything, it was just a horror story of traffic, the city was flooded with every app car conceivable you could find. They were even coming from out of town to get surgical, double price and triple price. All these characters came into the city to get double and triple surge charge prices, Uber and Lyft and all these Schmift and all these other crazy deals, from what I heard. And they got there to get one person that they couldn't move. So that's what happened.
Yeah. Well, what you heard is it's been in news articles. They were getting a lot of money. I don't know exactly how much, but a lot of money to do their fares. And now I just came upon a news story this morning, which I posted on the website. Bronx elected officials back a snowstorm hearing. Okay. There are people calling for de Blasio's resignation over this. Okay.
I'll get the champagne. I'll chill the champagne if that happens.
A letter was sent to five New York City council committees, including the recently formed Oversight Hearing and Investigations Committee.
Yeah.
Okay, chaired by Fordham Councilman Richie Torres. It was also sent to the Sanitation, Public Safety, Fire, and Emergency Management and Parks Committees. Bronx Council members Mark John Judge. I can't say his name. It's spelled G-J-O-N-A-J. Ruben Diaz Sr., who was also chairman of the committee of the FHV committee. And other members of the city council have signed on to this letter. They want a hearing into just what went wrong. And de Blasio, you know, is saying, well, this is what happened. And, you know, he can't explain why the things weren't worked out better. Okay?
All they had to do is he had to pick up the phone. He could have done something. Yeah. He did nothing. He could have done something, and he did nothing. No. This is what the big problem is. This is almost like that's what I'm saying is I wonder if there was some union stand down with the sanitation department, with the police. I don't think the police still have a contract. I don't think so. And so there might have been some overtime with the sanitation workers and some mad cops. Dude, there was zero people out there. I know you hate when I call you dude, but this is a dude moment. It's dude. There was nobody out there doing anything.
Yeah. Well, let me ask you, Mike. You know, I know a driver who it took him 2 hours to get from 67th Street and 3rd Avenue to the entrance to the 59th Street Bridge, which is only 8 blocks away. It took him two hours to get there, okay?
All right? My God.
And then it took him actually 3.5 hours to get home to Flushing, okay? And you were out there that night. Tell us what happened to you.
Oh, yeah, I had my little tale. So I feel like, you know, I was complaining to you, and now I feel like the big winner because I had a guy. I picked him up in the 59th and, no, 50, the Hudson Hotel. I picked a guy up at the Hudson Hotel. Okay. Great hotel, by the way, great people, great staff.
And that'd be on 9th Avenue or
58th and
9th. And 9th or on the block between 8th and 9th.
Right. Okay. They get the Hudson Hotel. You get the coffee shop there where you get a nice coffee deal. They let you use the bathroom. God bless them. So it's like one of my little pit stops, you know. So a guy jumps in. He goes, listen, this is what the doorman said to me. He goes, listen, come here. I see you're getting coffee. Because I was off duty. I was legally off duty. And he goes, listen, I got a guy here. He says he wants to give you $100 to go to Kennedy Airport. He said, bet. You know, I didn't ask him for $100. I didn't say, I'm not going until I get. No, he said, he wants to give you $100 to go to Kennedy Airport if you take him right now. I said, giddy up. I said, giddy up. Fine by me. So we get him in the cab, and then part of the French, then the bullshit starts. I go across 58th Street to the end, jam-packed to the Queensboro Bridge.
So you were trying to get on this. What time was that?
This was 6 o'clock. 6 o'clock.
Okay, so this is basically the same time that the driver I just described was trying to get on the same bridge.
Right.
But he was coming from the other direction. Okay.
Oh my God! Well, listen to what it is. So I went across. I said, "Man, if we go up to the Triborough Bridge on 125th Street, we're going to be just stuck forever because there's trucks and everything." I said, "Okay,
well,
so listen."
The George Washington Bridge had been closed for a while.
I didn't know that. Nobody knew that. I mean,
There was a 20-car accident on the upper level of the bridge.
Because no salt. There was no salt. No shoveling.
Well,
no,
so they closed the upper level, and that spilled back, you know, through the whole upper Manhattan.
Right.
Okay, so if you tried to get to the Triborough Bridge from where you were, you'd have never got there.
See, I'm hearing this for the first time from you. Yeah. I knew it was closed. Yeah. This is the first time I'm hearing it was a 20-car accident on the George Washington Bridge. That's an outrage. And I'll tell you what happened with the roads. There was no salt, no shoveling, nothing. And
that's what they're complaining about, that de Blasio didn't, should have made sure that there was some pre-warning and, you know, pre-arrangements.
Like a salting, some pre-salting.
Right. Yeah, right. Okay, so go ahead. You're trying to get on the
Yeah. Again, with de Blasio, he could have said, listen, cars are banned. You can't drive. That's it. No more cars on the road. He could have said cars are banned. Listen, let me finish.
Yeah, but they were already on the road.
So let me finish my little thing here. Give me a couple minutes to tell you my route, and then you can jump in. So I go from the Hudson Hotel. I get my $100 Kennedy guy. Nice guy. He's from England, and he's in. He goes, I said, what business are you going? He goes, I'm in retail. So I said, oh, my condolences. And he laughed. So we're chatting away. So I try to go across. I toyed with the idea of the Triborough Bridge. Thank God I didn't take it because it's flat rate. I said, okay, well, let's look. We'll look around, see what's going on. The 59th Street Bridge was jammed. So I said, okay, let's try the tunnel. The tunnel was jammed. So I said, oh, my God. We got to go downtown and take one of the other bridges. He goes, what bridges? I said, there's three bridges downtown. The Williamsburg, the Manhattan Bridge, and the Brooklyn Bridge. So I go all the way down. Everything is jam-packed. Trees broken all over the place. It was like something out of a horror movie. Every time I take a turn, there's a bunch of trees falling in the road. So we get down to around the Williamsburg, packed. So I said, listen, this is what we're going to do. We're going to go all the way across to Avenue D. Then we're going to take Avenue D to house it and take the Brooklyn Bridge. And, of course, I'm telling this to a guy who knows nothing. He goes, do what you got to do. So yeah. I do that. I take Houston southbound onto the Brooklyn Bridge ramp. So we finally get into Brooklyn. Final effingly. But that, going from the Hudson Hotel over the Brooklyn Bridge where I was on the mainland, out on the Brooklyn Bridge, that right there I think was an hour and 45 minutes. So we beat your friend by a little time because we're actually in the mainland.
Okay, and from there you're in Brooklyn, you're in Cadman Plaza. Plaza.
Right.
How did you get to JFK from there?
From there, ironically, it was almost all those other hot spots were like a cork in the bottle. So when I got over the Brooklyn Bridge, I took a left on Tillery Street and got on the BQE, which was moving. There was nobody on the BQE for that little stretch between the BQE and the Williamsburg
Bridge. How was the road? Was it slippery?
The road was okay. They might have got some salt on that road because they got trucks. You don't want a complete disaster. But as soon as I got to the Williamsburg, I saw the bullshit starting again, so I jumped off at the Williamsburg Bridge exit of the BQE and finagled around and got back on the BQE down by Morgan Avenue. Any of you cabbies know what I'm talking about. And we're going eastbound.
I know. You go underneath the BQE, and then there's a little bridge just before you get to what is that, Mathis Bay?
So, where all the trucks are. That's where the new Amazon thing is going to be. But long story longer, it took me an hour and 45 minutes to get out of the city. And once I actually got out of the city, it took me maybe 45 minutes or an hour to get to Kennedy Airport. So, and then the guy gave me, was a sport, he gave me 120. And, he gave me, so instead of the 52 flat rate, he gave me 120. So it took me 3 hours, and I got $120. And I was complaining about it. And everybody's like, no, that was good. You did okay. So then I get to Kennedy Airport. The lot is stripped, meaning nobody's in there. Right. And I get a dispatch. I get my coffee. Take a leak because I was holding it in for like an hour and a half. I mean, I'm surprised that didn't explode.
That's something that has never been addressed, by the city of New York. You're holding it in for an hour and a half. You know how horrible that is for your kidneys.
Oh, forget it. The kidneys.
Okay, but go ahead. So you held it in for an hour and a half.
I finally get to Kennedy Airport. I go into the bathroom to take a leak. It was like it was like my bladder exploded. I mean, I've never had that much water coming out of me taking a leak. It was like I should have had like the Guinness Book of World Records there because it was the leak of the year.
So I
take care of that, and so now I get dispatched to the terminal, and I wonder if there's some chicanery going on because I had I get to the terminal, and there's a guy there who wants to go to the Bronx, and I'm saying out of all the zillions of people, it's one guy going to the Bronx. And the dispatcher runs away. He doesn't give him a ticket for dispatching, so I don't know what that was. But anyway, it was a hell of a nice guy. It turns out the guy was an African-African, like a double African. African from Africa. And he had some stuff, like he was bringing some stuff back, like souvenirs and African statues, I guess. And they had and his back hurt and blah, blah, blah. And it turns out, ironically, his son was a yellow cab driver. His son just started driving a yellow cab. So it was a nice little thing. So we get to the relief. We leave Kennedy Airport, and I don't have the GPS, but I have the map in this car. And I said, well, how do you want to go? He goes, I don't know. I don't have my phone. I can't call my son. I said, so listen, you can use my phone. So he calls the son of the Bronx with the cab driver. He goes, take the Whitestone Bridge. I said, okay. We head to the Whitestone Bridge, jam-packed. Nobody's moving. So I had to jump off at the last exit for the Whitestone. I loop around and say, okay, let's take the Charborough. Jam-packed again. So I said, okay, let's take the tunnel. We're able to squeeze through the tunnel. It's packed in the city. I said, what the F is going on here? Backed on First Avenue going north. This is going to the Bronx right now. Backed on First Avenue going north.
Where was he going, Mike?
He was going, I forgot to tell you, he was going to the Bronx on 169th Street and Boston Road. And I couldn't even do that. And so we finally got there. That one took 3.5 hours. And that guy was a sport and gave me $80. So.
Nice.
But I'll tell you, coming back on 95 South, I saw these it was like something out of like a World War II documentary movie. Like, it's this weird evacuation scene where I'm coming southbound back from the Bronx. The guy, I want to thank these two guys. The guy with the cabbie son and the other guy, the English, 120 and 80. They didn't have to give me all that money, but they did. They had compassion. God bless America, these beautiful people. One from Africa, one from England. They had compassion on the cab driver. So I'm coming back on 95 South. Anybody in New York knows 95 North, the Hutch. It's usually a little traffic, but this was
95 is the Cross Bronx Expressway.
The Cross Bronx Expressway, no, it's, what is it, the Hutch. It's like
the Hutch is not 95. The Hutch is a state road.
Well, it's like right by the Sheridan Expressway. What is that?
The Sheridan Expressway, that's neither 95. It's a state road. Okay, it's an offshoot from 95.
Okay? But if you're going past Co-op City, what is that? That's 95.
That's 95 going way out. Okay, you're not going back. You're going towards Connecticut now.
Right. Well, southbound, wherever they're going northbound, I was going southbound against the flow. Okay?
You were going back towards the George Washington Bridge.
Apparently. I don't know where the hell I was going.
Yeah, okay, that's not south. That's west.
No, this was north. It was probably 90. Well, Bruckner. The Bruckner. That's what I'm talking. What's the Bruckner going to do?
The Bruckner is not an interstate highway. The Bruckner is another, I guess, state road. Okay.
Well, point being, the northbound people were screwed. Okay.
Right.
I'm coming back. Honest to God, I felt like pulling over and rescuing people out of these cabs, because these cabbies, you can see these poor cabbies had this look on his face of just a complete horror story. And one guy in particular, he was driving the van. He had a lady in the back. I could see the meter had maybe $65 on it. I mean, it's clicking. All these people are sitting in traffic, not moving an inch. And you got to say to yourself, especially there was older cabbie, like in his 60s, and he had a lady in the back, and I'm saying to myself, somebody in this whole mess of traffic has to go. Some people have to, are pregnant or giving birth or have to go to the bathroom or all three combined. And there were no cops, no salting, no help. I'm just wondering what the F was going on. This was horrible. It was unacceptable. And I'll tell you, these people grossly unqualified to do their jobs, which is probably what is happening right now. So this and everybody just got elected. I wish this would have happened a week before the election. Everybody would have just voted them out in 2 seconds. Now they're blaming the weatherman. It's like, listen, we all know the weatherman. Sometimes they're right, sometimes they're wrong.
Okay, Max, you've said enough about this, but speaking before the election, the people are complaining now that your great governor, Andrew Cuomo, didn't announce the Amazon deal until after the election.
Another after the election deal. Yeah, right. It was such a great deal that he announced it after the election. This is the wonderful deal.
Right. Yeah.
I mean, that right there tells you what a horrible deal it is. The fact that he should have been championing that before the election, right? I mean, you have this great deal with Amazon. We're gonna bring him into Long Island City. Yeah. I mean, you would think that would be something you could get votes on.
Well, what people are complaining about, from what I'm reading, is that they're getting $3 billion worth of tax breaks from the state.
Yeah.
Okay? This is one of the richest companies in the world, Amazon.
Yeah.
Okay? Why are they getting $3,000 in tax breaks?
$3 billion.
I mean, $3 billion, rather. Okay? Why are they getting $3 billion? $3,000 is nothing.
That's what they should get. They're getting $3 billion.
They should get nothing. They should get no tax breaks. Take it or leave it. You know, do they want to be in New York? You know, does New York need them? Well, you know, the counter argument is, well, they're going to create 30,000 to 40,000 jobs or something like that, or 100,000. I don't know what I meant.
Okay, maybe, yes, maybe
jobs.
No.
They're going to create a lot of jobs. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. But the thing is this. The thing is this. Why are they getting all of these tax breaks? Why is this the state giving them $3 billion, $3 billion of tax breaks,
$3 billion,
and taking and robbing the cab drivers of all this money on the congestion tax, whatever.
Right. Okay? And I'll tell you, you know, there's some other stores around there. I didn't see a tax break for BJ's Wholesale. I didn't see a tax break for IKEA when they came in. What about these people? I didn't see a tax break for
And also, this guy Boros is his name, the guy that runs Amazon, the CEO.
Jeff Bezos.
He's getting permission to land his helicopter at the Amazon headquarters.
Yeah. Yeah, so okay. He won't be worried about the traffic jams, I guess.
Yeah, he won't be worried about the traffic. The traffic is irrelevant to him. Okay, I'd like to remind people, and I posted this video on Twitter. Okay, yeah. I should put it on NYC Taxi News also. There's a video of 1977. You know, from the time helicopters were invented, I guess, and from the time. The Pan Am building was erected, in the 1960s, I think it was, okay?
Right.
And now it's the MetLife building, right?
Uh-huh.
Everybody knows this building is on, it lies right above Grand Central Station, right?
Right.
They were landing helicopters there and giving people airport rides, okay? Going back to a time when these rides cost $5 a piece.
Right.
In 1977, you know, and this is well documented, and I remember when this happened, okay?
Yeah.
A helicopter landed on what was then the Pan Am building, right?
Yeah.
Tilted over to its side, killed, I believe, five people with their rotor blades on top of the building.
Decapitated.
Right. Well, I don't know how they killed them, but the rotor blades hit them, okay, and killed them, all right? And parts of this helicopter fell to the ground, right, and killed other people on the street. I believe two or three other people. Okay, and from that day on, that was the end of helicopters landing in buildings in Manhattan. Okay, and I guess other parts of the city also. Okay, and this would include, you know, Amazon. All right, should they build a building, whatever they're going to build,
right?
Okay. And this guy gets they somehow waived all the laws, and this guy's going to be able to land his helicopter, on the Amazon building.
This is an outrage. Oh, the other thing that Cuomo said, which gave me a little bit of a chuckle, he said, "Now the people in the public housing, we're going to try and get them jobs with the new facility." And
they have nowhere to live. They're not going to have anywhere to live.
Well, I mean, the other thing is, if you get a job at the new facility and you're making too much money, you got to give up your apartment in public housing. So if you get a job for someone for $85,000 a year from the public housing, well, guess what? You can't live in public housing anymore. So now you got to walk across the street, pay $3,000 a month for the same three-bedroom apartment that you're paying $450 a month. So right there, so a job is kind of like a four-letter word sometimes.
Well, Mike, the site where this Amazon thing is going to be built was supposed to go for public housing.
It's supposed to what?
It was supposed to be, the public housing was going to be built there, I believe. Okay, more public housing, and now they got to look for another place to do it.
Oh man!
Okay,
If I read correctly,
I'm a quick reader. Sometimes I see things and I make mistakes, but that's what I believe I read. Okay.
Well, the other thing. Now, follow me on this. I mean, I'm the who says I'm paranoid guy of the show here, folks. But listen to me. Somebody told me that previously, basically, Walmart wanted to come into New York City, and they chased them out. Said, we don't want Walmart in the city. No. And they ran them off. And now they're saying this might be a whole. Listen to me. They might say this might be a whole political deal because Bezos is the owner of the Washington Post, and the Washington Post have been hammering Trump on a regular basis. So I'm wondering if the Democrats are kissing his ass versus Walmart, which is pretty much owned by conservative minded people in the Midwest, vis-a-vis might be some Republican Democrat thing there, because Bezos has been hammering Trump. So maybe the reward for Bezos for hammering Trump in the Washington Post is giving him a sweetheart deal in Brooklyn versus Walmart, who was thrown out of the.
Well, Amazon is not going to be in Brooklyn. They're going to be in Long Island City.
They're right on the border. Where is this place going to be?
I don't know. I don't know exactly, okay? But it's going to change the whole area, okay, one way or another, okay? And, Mike...
Well, let's think on that. The eminent domain aspect of it, I mean, are they going to put this monstrosity where people could live? I mean, instead of building apartment buildings, are they going to instead put this Walmart warehouse in the middle of residential districts? Is that what's happening?
Well, you mean an Amazon warehouse, not Walmart.
Amazon warehouse.
I don't know the answer to that question, but I want to say this. The reason that they didn't want Walmart was because they were concerned about putting the little guys out of business. Okay? All right?
Yeah.
So what has Amazon done? It's put a lot of big guys out of business, I'll tell you that. You know,
Sears
and other department stores have folded because of Amazon. Okay.
Yeah.
And mind you, you know, Amazon does a great job with what they do. Okay. I mean, you go online and you don't have to go shopping anymore. You just go to their website.
Everybody uses Amazon. The fact of the matter is everybody uses Amazon, which is another reason, everybody uses Amazon. Why are we giving them a tax break? They should kick some money back to the house and say thank you.
Amazon could be anywhere on the planet and still do the same thing. Okay?
Yeah.
All right? So nobody knows exactly why is what and why our governor waited till after the election to announce it. Okay?
Yeah.
And people are up in arms about it. Okay? And the whole story hasn't really unfolded yet, okay? But there's more to be said, okay?
Well, I know the two guys who stepped up were Rodriguez had something to say, Van Bremmer from the councilman from Queens had something to say, and Giannis, I think he's an assemblyman. So you have some really big people who are ticked off, as we all are, because, listen, they should have been paying us. They should have said, listen, we're going to give the city of New York $4 billion for housing because we need that space. Now, we're giving them a tax break, which is insane, for the hottest market in the country. And they're also going to wipe out a very viable residential area for people who want to buy places and live. I mean, right now, instead of having apartments where people are going to be consumers for the rest of New York, we're going to... And what's going to happen with eminent domain? I mean, are they just going to grab real estate from people who own real estate over there? How's that going to work? I mean, good questions, Mike.
I don't have the answer.
We'll figure that out later, I guess.
Yeah. Mike, we've done a great show here today.
Yeah.
Okay.
I want to let everybody happy Thanksgiving. Be careful on the roads there, you know, happy everything.
I want to thank our sponsors for supporting us, the MTBOT,
yes.
Checker Management, WB Taxi, and Queens Medallion. Okay.
Yep.
They've done a great job. And, have a good holiday, everyone.
Have a good holiday. Like I said, there's a lot going on, folks, so just voice your opinions, because finally we got some people seeing the light, and I'm glad that we have some elected officials seeing it our way for a first time in a long time, because now they realize they're coming for you. All right, first they came for the cab drivers, now they're coming for you. Now everybody realizes what we're talking about, so that's, in a way, that's the good news. But Abe, you did a great show. You did a great job over there. And I'll see you guys next week. We'll be on the air after Thanksgiving next week.
And the last thing I want to say is, if you hear this show in time, get down to City Hall tomorrow and fight this congestion surcharge. Okay?
Right, and you can do your part by, if you can't find a parking space, at least get down there and look for a parking space. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
All right, so anyway, good luck, folks.
Okay.
All right, take care.
Bye, everyone.
Goodbye. Bye.